Conference muted.
Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give honor and glory and praise to your name, Father. We come before you to learn of you. We ask that you would teach us from your word. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you as we seek to do your will. We want to know more of you, Father. We want to draw closer to you so that as we learn the great truths that you've prepared for us, Father, we ask that you would be preparing us for your kingdom, which is soon coming to this earth. Help us, Father, to do your will and to be the bright and shining examples of your Holy One, your saints that are doing your will, so that when people ask us of the hope that is within us, we can give them a witness of the great salvation of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and how he's cleansed our sins and taken us for his own. We love you, Father, and we thank you and ask that your will would be done in our lives and that you would forgive us for all sins that we may have committed before you. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things, that we would seek to do only that which is right in your sight, and that we would understand and yield to the power behind the throne. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask, Father, all these favors and blessings in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled The Power Behind the Throne, Part 2. Last week we were talking about Jezebel and how she was the power behind the throne in Israel, how she affected not only Israel in the north, but Judah in the south through her daughter, Athaliah, having her married into the royal line in Judah. There are many people who have been placed in powerful positions who have had access to the throne. When you think about Esther being the wife of Ahasuerus and being the power behind that throne when Vashti was dethroned, demoted, because she did not submit to her husband. Esther, who was of the Jewish people, was raised and given the honor and the glory of being the queen of that royal empire. Jezebel, on the other hand, was sold out and tried to destroy the worship of Almighty Yahweh throughout Israel and even into Judah. Again, we want to look at these aspects of the power behind the throne because, again, as I said last week, it can be for good or it can be for evil. And we are going to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Therefore, David blessed Yahweh before all the assembly. And David said, blessed be you, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our Elohim, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no remaining. O Yahweh, our Elohim, all this store that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name comes of your hand and is all your own. I know also, my Elohim, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you. David had taken up a collection, an offering, you might say. He gave plenty to the building of the temple. He wanted to build a house for Yahweh, the throne of Elohim. But Yahweh would not allow David to build that house. He gave the task to his son, Solomon. But the people also gave willingly. David was just the first because it was in his heart to do this. In verse 17 it says, I know also, my Elohim, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel. Our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart to you. And this is what we want, brother. We want our hearts to be prepared for Yahweh, to love Yahweh, as it says in the Shema, with all our hearts and all our soul and all our might. In verse 19, and it says, and give to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Now, we say this as parents for all our kids, because we want our kids to have that relationship with Yahweh that we have. I remember a while back, this is a while ago, several of my children said that they desired to have the relationship that myself and Tyrone had with Yahweh, because they saw that we loved Yahweh. We were willing to do whatever it took to serve Yahweh. And that, like I said, was something good to hear coming from the children, because you want them to have the same relationship or even a better relationship with Yahweh as they continue to learn. In verse 20, and David said to all the assembly, now bless Yahweh your Elohim, and all the assembly bless Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship Yahweh and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh on the next day and the day even 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and ate and drank before Yahweh on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him to Yahweh to be the prince, and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves to Solomon the king. And Yahweh magnified Solomon greatly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. We see that Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh. See, the throne of Yahweh, just like the temple had a copy on earth that was made from heaven. He gave Moses the pattern of how to set this thing up. There's a reason for that. They wanted them to follow the pattern. And when we think about the power behind the throne, you can think about any relationship you have. And I just brought it up when I talked about how the wives are actually the power behind their husbands. And, you know, we're going to look at that a little bit further. But there's a relationship between Yahweh and his people as a husband and a wife. And each one of us has to fulfill our role in that relationship. The bride and the bridegroom. Yahshua being the bridegroom. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Says, they say if a man puts away his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man, will he return to her again? Will not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, says Yahweh. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been languid? By the ways have you sat forth them as an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your whoredoms and with your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. Yet you had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father? You are the guide of my youth. Will he retain his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and have done evil things, have had your way. But what we have to understand is that Yahweh is faithful. He's good to Israel. Even though Israel was a backsliding people, Almighty Yahweh still loved Israel. Drop down to verse 11. And Yahweh said to me, backsliding Israel has showed herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, you backsliding Israel. Says Yahweh, I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful, says Yahweh. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh, your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Return, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am a husband to you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says Yahweh, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh. And all nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days, says the house of Judah, shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance to your father. Now, brethren, this hasn't happened yet. You understand? The 10 northern tribes went into captivity. They never returned. They're just starting to come back to Yahweh now. They lost their identity by not keeping the Sabbath. See? So Israel is now just starting to come back, and it says here that they would come from the north because that's where they went into captivity. Assyria took them into captivity, placed them in the cities of the Medes and the Persians, and then took those people and placed them in Samaria. Okay? There's some transplanting was going on. But Yahweh is the one that knows. He's the one that has set these things up. It says in verse 18, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north, to the land that I gave for an inheritance to your father. Right now, there's a lot of Jewish people going back to the Holy Land, Aliyah. They're doing this on the regular. Let's continue, verse 19. But I said, how I will put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a good heritage of the host of the nation. And I said, you shall call me my father and shall not turn away from following me, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband. So have you dealt treacherously with me. O house of Israel, says Yahweh, a voice is heard upon the bare heights, the weeping. And the supplications of her children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten Yahweh, their Elohim. Return, you backsliding children. And I will heal your backsliding. Yahweh is calling for the people to return to him. Behold, we have come to you, for you are Yahweh, our Elohim. Truly in vain is the help that is looked for from the hill, the tumult on the mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our Elohim, is the salvation of Israel. But the shameful thing has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. It says, verse 25, let us lie down in our shame and let our confusion cover us. For we have sinned against Yahweh our Elohim, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day. And we have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah 50, verse 1. In this manner, says Yahweh, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, with which I have put her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities were you sold. For your iniquities were you sold. It was because of your sin, Israel. Behold, for your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. Why? When I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? We have to understand that Yahweh has all the power. He's in control, brethren. We have to yield to him in everything. Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth as covering. The sovereign Yahweh has given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He awakens morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as they that are taught. The sovereign Yahweh has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. I gave my back to strikers and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, they shall all wear out like as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears Yahweh, that obeys the voice of his servant? He that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of Yahweh and rely upon his Elohim. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that gird yourselves about with firebrands, walk in the flame of your fire and among the brands that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. There are many people who are not willing to yield to Almighty Yahweh. They want to pick and choose what commandments they want to keep. But see, Yahweh is telling us to keep the whole covenant. We can't pick and choose which Sabbaths we want to keep. We've got to keep them all. We have to keep every one of Yahweh's holy commandments. See? He's given us a Savior. He's given us Yahshua the Messiah, the true power behind the throne. Nothing has been made that wasn't made by Yahshua. He was the Yahweh of the Old Testament who came before and showed us his glory as the only begotten Son. Turn to Daniel chapter 4. Yeah, Daniel chapter 4. Now, for those that are on the call-in, I did get the video conference up, and it's working. So you can, those that want to go to the video can do so at this time. But in Daniel chapter 4, the start of verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High Allah has worked toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Then drop down to verse 16. Daniel 4:16. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who just said these wonderful things about Yahweh and his kingdom. In verse 16 it says, let his heart be changed from man, and let a beast's heart be given to him. Let seven times pass over him the sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of his holy, the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Remember, I talked about the throne of Yahweh. Solomon was sat on the throne of Yahweh. It wasn't just a throne of a king. This is the throne of Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that is decreeing and giving his power to this lineage. See? This wasn't of man. This is of Yahweh. And this is what we have to understand. Nebuchadnezzar was placed in his kingdom as the king over all of the known earth because Yahweh allowed it. He wanted him to be there so that he could take Judah into captivity. But what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He got puffed up. His ego got the best of him. So Yahweh decreed him seven times, 7 years was the sentence that would pass over him. And it says, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and you, O Belteshazzar, which is Daniel, declare the interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you. Drop down to verse 24. This is the interpretation, O King, and it is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my sovereign, the King, that you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump and the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be sure to you. After that, you shall have known that the heavens do rule. See, there's power behind the throne, and it's not of man. It's not of man. Therefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable to you and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there be a lengthening of your tranquility. That was Daniel's counsel to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking. This is a year later. He's walking in the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built? See, he got that I syndrome from Satan the devil. I will exalt myself among the stars of El. He's going to place his kingdom. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. You shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And gives it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and ate grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? At the same time, my understanding returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty, the brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my rulers sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excelled greatness was added to me, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. See, he came to his realization that Yahweh, he is Elohim. And it's only Yahweh. And all his works are truth, and his ways justice. And those that walk in pride, he is able to humble. And I guarantee you, I don't care who you are, if you are very prideful, and you feel that you are more than you truly are, Yahweh will humble you as well. Daniel chapter 9. We must acknowledge our sin, brethren. Daniel chapter 9. Now what you have to understand is that Daniel is still, along with Israel, in captivity. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel says, "And I set my face to Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to Yahweh my Elohim and made confession and said, O sovereign, the great and dreadful El, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them that love him, and keep his commandments. We have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from your precepts and from your ordinances. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets." And that prophet that he's speaking about is Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was the one that was prophesying to Israel, to Judah, at the time of their going into Babylonian captivity. "That spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of faith, as at this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where you have driven them because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against you. O Yahweh, to us belongs confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you." And that's the first thing we have to do, brethren. The first thing we have to do is acknowledge our sin. It's called, the first step is realization, okay? You have to realize that you're a sinner. Most people think they're okay. Most people walking around in the world think they're okay. But they're not. See? They have to come to that realization that they are sinners. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, we'll start in verse 9. "And he spoke also this parable to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, despising all others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, Elohim, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, for even as this publican, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get." So he built himself up. He was so full of himself that he missed the boat. See, he didn't recognize that he was a sinner. You understand? He was so full of himself that he missed the point of being there at the temple. Why go to the temple? To build yourself up? Or to humble yourself before Almighty Yahweh? The temple, the throne of Yahweh, this is where he's at Jerusalem. He's there presenting himself to the mighty one of the earth. Verse 13, the contrast. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but struck his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So the first step is the realization that we're sinners, brethren, each and every one of us. But the key is that we have to be repentant. We have to come before Yahweh asking for forgiveness for our sins. Doesn't matter whether we're a king like Nebuchadnezzar, because Yahweh is the one that places you in whatever position you find yourself. He's the one that has a purpose for you. Your life has a special purpose. Every one of us has a special purpose to Yahweh. We have to find out what it is. Again, that publican realized that he was a sinner, and the Pharisee did not. He didn't realize he was a sinner. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. First Kings chapter 21, and we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, close by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near to my house. And I will give you for a better vineyard than it. So he was willing to trade with him. But he's going to give him what he feels is even a better deal if Naboth would just trade with him. Okay? Or if it seems good to you, I will give you the worth of it in money. He was willing to buy it, give him cash for it. And Naboth said to Ahab, far be it from me by Yahweh that I should give the inheritance of my father to you. See, because Israel, all of them received an inheritance except for the Levites. And they received that land from Yahweh. And Naboth wasn't willing to give up his inheritance because it was from Yahweh. See? In verse 4, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my father. And he laid himself down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He was sad. He was sulking. See? And it's okay. This is the king of Israel. It's okay for him to do this. But Jezebel, the one we talked about last week, the power behind the throne there in Israel, his wife came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sad that you eat no bread? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth, the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, do you now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, Let your heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth to Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. He's the king. This is the queen. She wrote letters, okay, in his name and sent the letters to the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, in Jezreel, and that dwelt with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, base fellows, before him and let them bear witness against him, saying, you cursed Elohim and the king. And then carry him out and stone him to death. Now, let's think about this. This woman, she's the queen of Israel. She's writing letters in her husband's name. Now, I don't believe he knew she was doing this. You understand? This is the power behind the throne. And you can see, like I said, it can be used for evil or good. She was using it for evil because she was an evil individual. Her whole M.O. was to corrupt and destroy Israel, the worship of Yahweh. No justice, no righteousness. Because she was the daughter of Ethbaal, the priest king of the Phoenicians. Okay? From Sidon. Well, there are two cities with Tyre and Sidon. They're two major cities. Verse 11, and the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who dwelt in his city, did as Jezebel had said to them, according as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. So they didn't know this was from Jezebel. They thought it was from the king. You understand? They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And the two men, the base fellows, came in and sat before him, and the base fellows bore witness against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth cursed Elohim and the king. They carried him forth out of the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to pass that Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Two witnesses. That's the minimum. That's all that was needed to put this man to death. He was a righteous man. He did not do what they said he had done, but they killed him anyway. So you have to understand that wickedness can exist behind the throne as well. Just like righteousness. Now, we're going to continue on in verse 17. And the word of Yahweh came to Eliab the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who dwells in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. And you shall speak to him, saying, in this manner, says Yahweh, have you killed and also taken possession. And you shall speak to him, saying, in this manner says Yahweh, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours. And Ahab said to Eliab, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do that which is evil in the sight of Yahweh. Behold, I will bring evil upon you and will utterly sweep you away and will cut off from Ahab every man-child and him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahiah, for the provocation which you have provoked me to anger and have made Israel to sin. And they made Israel to sin in the worship of the Baalim. And Jezebel also spoke to Yahweh, saying, and of Jezebel also spoke to Yahweh, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. And he that dies of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And he that dies in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up, the power behind the throne. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the Amorites did, whom Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. That's why he told them when they were going into the land had to be cleansed because of the abominations that were done in it by the people. Now in verse 27, and it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of Yahweh came to Eliab the Tishbite, saying, do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Ahab repented. He repented of his sin before Yahweh. Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring the evil upon his house. The second step in the process is repentance. When your Nathan or Eliab comes to you and brings your sin to your remembrance, you must repent. You must see your sin, just as Ahab did, and repent. When Nathan came to David, David, who knew the law of Yahweh, and Nathan gave him about the poor ewe lamb and how the man was killed for the poor ewe lamb. And David said, that man shall die. And he rightly judged. And Nathan says, you are the man. And David immediately repented, because he realized that he was the one that had sinned against Almighty Yahweh. While he was doing it, he couldn't see it. And most people in sin can't see what they're doing. It takes someone else to come to them and be their Eliab or Nathan. We have to be the Eliab these last days, brethren, and show the world their sin. We have to teach them the name of Yahweh and show them the power behind the throne, Yahshua the Messiah. Second Chronicles, chapter 6.
Conference muted.
Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give honor and glory and praise to your name, Father. We come before you to learn of you. We ask that you would teach us from your word. Help us, Father, to draw closer to you as we seek to do your will. We want to know more of you, Father. We want to draw closer to you so that as we learn the great truths that you've prepared for us, Father, we ask that you would be preparing us for your kingdom, which is soon coming to this earth. Help us, Father, to do your will and to be the bright and shining examples of your Holy One, your saints that are doing your will, so that when people ask us of the hope that is within us, we can give them a witness of the great salvation of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and how he's cleansed our sins and taken us for his own. We love you, Father, and we thank you and ask that your will would be done in our lives and that you would forgive us for all sins that we may have committed before you. Help us, Father, to be faithful in all things, that we would seek to do only that which is right in your sight, and that we would understand and yield to the power behind the throne. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask, Father, all these favors and blessings in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled The Power Behind the Throne, Part 2. Last week we were talking about Jezebel and how she was the power behind the throne in Israel, how she affected not only Israel in the north, but Judah in the south through her daughter, Athaliah, having her married into the royal line in Judah. There are many people who have been placed in powerful positions who have had access to the throne. When you think about Esther being the wife of Ahasuerus and being the power behind that throne when Vashti was dethroned, demoted, because she did not submit to her husband. Esther, who was of the Jewish people, was raised and given the honor and the glory of being the queen of that royal empire. Jezebel, on the other hand, was sold out. She sold out and destroyed, tried to destroy the worship of Almighty Yahweh throughout Israel and even into Judah. Again, we want to look at these aspects of the power behind the throne because, again, as I said last week, it can be for good or it can be for evil. And we are going to start in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Therefore David blessed Yahweh before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed be you, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our Elohim, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is no remaining. Yahweh, our Elohim, all this store that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name comes of your hand and is all your own. I know also, my Elohim, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you. David had taken up a collection, an offering, you might say. He gave plenty to the building of the temple. He wanted to build a house for Yahweh, the throne of Elohim. But Yahweh would not allow David to build that house. He gave the task to his son, Solomon. But the people also gave willingly. David was just the first because it was in his heart to do this. In verse 17 it says, I know also, my Elohim, that you try the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy your people that are present here offer willingly to you. O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thought of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart to you. And this is what we want, brother. We want our hearts to be prepared for Yahweh, to love Yahweh, as it says in the Shema, with all our hearts and all our soul and all our might. In verse 19, and it says, and give to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Now, we say this as parents for all our kids because we want our kids to have that relationship with Yahweh that we have. I remember a while back, this is a while ago, several of my children said that they desired to have the relationship that myself and Tyrone had with Yahweh, because they saw that we loved Yahweh. We were willing to do whatever it took to serve Yahweh. And that, like I said, was something good to hear coming from the children, because you want them to have the same relationship or even a better relationship with Yahweh as they continue to learn. In verse 20, and David said to all the assembly, now bless Yahweh your Elohim, and all the assembly bless Yahweh, the Elohim of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship Yahweh and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh on the next day and the day even 1,000 bullocks and 1,000 rams and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and ate and drank before Yahweh on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and anointed him to Yahweh to be the prince and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves to Solomon the king. And Yahweh magnified Solomon greatly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. We see that Solomon sat on the throne
of Yahweh.
See, the throne of Yahweh, just like the temple had a copy on earth that was made from heaven. He gave Moses the pattern of how to set this thing up. There's a reason for that. They wanted them to follow the pattern. And when we think about the power behind the throne, you can think about any relationship you have. And I just brought it up when I talked about how the wives are actually the power behind their husbands. And, you know, we're going to look at that a little bit further. But there's a relationship between Yahweh and his people as a husband and a wife. And each one of us has to fulfill our role in that relationship. The bride and the bridegroom. Yahshua being the bridegroom. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, they say if a man puts away his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man, will he return to her again? Will not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, says Yahweh. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been lain with? By the ways have you sat forth them as an Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your whoredoms and with your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. Yet you had a harlot's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father? You are the guide of my youth. Will he retain his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and have done evil things, have had your way. But what we have to understand is that Yahweh is faithful. He's good to Israel. Even though Israel was a backsliding people, Almighty Yahweh still loved Israel. Drop down to verse 11. And Yahweh said to me, backsliding Israel has showed herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, you backsliding Israel. Says Yahweh, I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful, says Yahweh. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against Yahweh, your Elohim, and have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says Yahweh. Return, O backsliding children, says Yahweh, for I am a husband to you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh. And all nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem. neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. In those days, says the house of Judah, shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance to your father. Now, brethren, this hasn't happened yet. You understand? The 10 northern tribes went into captivity. They never returned. They're just starting to come back to Yahweh now. They lost their identity by not keeping the Sabbath. See? So Israel is now just starting to come back, and it says here that they would come from the north, because that's where they went into captivity. Assyria took them into captivity, placed them in the cities of the Medes and the Persians, and then took those people and placed them in Samaria. Okay? There's some transplanting was going on. But Yahweh is the one that knows. He's the one that has set these things up. It says in verse 18, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance to your father. Right now, there's a lot of Jewish people going back to the Holy Land, Aliyah. They're doing this on the regular. Let's continue, verse 19. But I said, how I will put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a good heritage of the host of the nation. And I said, you shall call me my father and shall not turn away from following me, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband. So have you dealt treacherously with me. O house of Israel, says Yahweh, a voice is heard upon the bare heights, the weeping. And the supplications of her children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. They have forgotten Yahweh, their Elohim. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Yahweh is calling for the people to return to him. Behold, we have come to you, for you are Yahweh, our Elohim. Truly in vain is the help that is looked for from the hill, the tumult on the mountains. Truly in Yahweh, our Elohim, is the salvation of Israel. But the shameful thing has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. It says, verse 25, let us lie down in our shame and let our confusion cover us. For we have sinned against Yahweh our Elohim, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day. And we have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to start in verse 1, Isaiah 50, verse 1. In this manner, says Yahweh, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, with which I have put her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities were you sold. For your iniquities were you sold. It was because of your sin, Israel. Behold, for your iniquities were you sold, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. Why? When I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? We have to understand that Yahweh has all the power. He's in control, brethren. We have to yield to him in everything. Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth as covering. The sovereign Yahweh has given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I may know how to sustain with words him that is weary. He awakens morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as they that are taught. The sovereign Yahweh has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. I gave my back to strikers and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the sovereign Yahweh will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, they shall all wear out like as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears Yahweh, that obeys the voice of his servant? He that walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of Yahweh and rely upon his Elohim. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that gird yourselves about with firebrands, walk in the flame of your fire and among the brands that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. There are many people who are not willing to yield to Almighty Yahweh. They want to pick and choose what commandments they want to keep. But see, Yahweh is telling us to keep the whole covenant. We can't pick and choose which Sabbaths we want to keep. We got to keep them all. We have to keep every one of Yahweh's holy commandments. See? He's given us a Savior. He's given us Yahshua the Messiah, the true power behind the throne. Nothing has been made that wasn't made by Yahshua. He was the Yahweh of the Old Testament, who came before and showed us His glory as the only begotten Son. Turn to Daniel chapter 4. Right? Yeah, Daniel chapter 4. And for those that are on the call, and I did get the video conference up and it's working, so you can, those that want to go to the video can do so at this time. But in Daniel chapter 4, the start of verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High Allah has worked toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Then drop down to verse 16. Daniel 4:16. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who just said these wonderful things about Yahweh and his kingdom. In verse 16 it says, let his heart be changed from man, and let a beast's heart be given to him. Let seven times pass over him the sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Remember, I talked about the throne of Yahweh. Solomon was sat on the throne of Yahweh. It wasn't just the throne of a king. This is the throne of Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that is decreeing and giving his power to this lineage. See? This wasn't of man. This is of Yahweh. And this is what we have to understand. Nebuchadnezzar was placed in his kingdom as the king over all of the known earth because Yahweh allowed it. He wanted him to be there so that he could take Judah into captivity. But what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He got puffed up. His ego got the best of him. So Yahweh decreed him seven times, 7 years was the sentence that would pass over him. And it says, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and you, O Belteshazzar, which is Daniel, declare the interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you. Drop down to verse 24. This is the interpretation, O King, and it is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my sovereign, the King, that you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump and the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be sure to you. After that, you shall have known that the heavens do rule. See, there's power behind the throne, and it's not of man. It's not of man. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you and break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there be a lengthening of your tranquility. That was Daniel's counsel to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking. This is a year later. He's walking in the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, Is not this great Babylon, which I have built? See, you got that I syndrome from Satan the devil. I will exalt myself among the stars of El. He's going to place his kingdom. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And gives it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and ate grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? At the same time, my understanding returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty, the brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my rulers sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excelled greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. See, he came to his realization that Yahweh, he is Elohim. And it's only Yahweh. And all his works are truth, and his ways justice. And those that walk in pride, he is able to humble. And I guarantee you, I don't care who you are, if you are very prideful, and you feel that you are more than you truly are, Yahweh will humble you as well. Daniel chapter 9. We must acknowledge our sin, brethren. Daniel chapter 9. Now what you have to understand is that Daniel is still, along with Israel, in captivity. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel says, and I set my face to Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to Yahweh, my Elohim, and made confession and said, O sovereign, the great and dreadful El, who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and have dealt perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even turning aside from your precepts and from your ordinances. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets. And that prophet that he's speaking about is Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was the one that was prophesying to Israel, to Judah, at the time of their going into Babylonian captivity. That spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers.